You're listening to the Groundswell Sermon Podcast, a brand new church in the Halton region, Ontario, Canada.
I was away this weekend. I went to Detroit. I have a friend who owns an Airbnb there. We went to a concert. I saw an old friend who I hadn't seen for forever. Actually, I saw him in Calgary years ago, but he lives now in the Yukon. But I knew him since grade four. We sang him all the time. It's been a long time since I saw him. And what was kind of cool is being with everyone there on the Saturday, we decided we're going to go for a picnic out on Belle Island, which is an awesome little spot in Detroit. It actually kind of fell apart for a while, but now it's kind of being rebuilt, much like the rest of the city. And it was gorgeous. The summer there was, yesterday, you saw the weather, right? It was incredible. But what was interesting is we decided we wanted to do a picnic on the island. And so you can imagine seven guys coming into the grocery store, one grocery cart, and we're all flying around trying to grab things and throw it into this grocery can. It was like a can, just like everything was thrown inside of it. But there was all sorts of stuff, right? We had all our meats, we had hamburgers, hot dogs, we had some lamb, and some steak. And then we grabbed lots of some veggies. We had the buns. And then we started realizing, okay, like we have a barbecue, but we're gonna need the charcoal, we need the lighter, we need to have the lighter fluid, we need to have some condiments. We have salt, and we're basically flying by the seat of our pants, getting all this stuff ready, preparing ourselves for the feast that we're gonna have on the island. When we got to the island, I gotta tell you, it was amazing. The food was so good. There was people playing music everywhere. And we had this amazing feast, just the seven of us sitting there on towels and blankets and stuff and eating away. And when I'm eating all this, I was thinking to myself, like, well, first of all, I thought of, you know, how God loves us to eat together, enjoy food together. I thought of the marriage supper of the Lamb, because we're talking a little bit about the end times today. And I thought about the fact that in order to have this amazing dinner, we had to be prepared. We had to get prepared. We had to go into that grocery store and get all that stuff, which wasn't necessarily fun, but it was necessary. It was something that we had to get. And as we did it, it helped us think through what we're going to need and get everything all together. And thankfully, we didn't forget anything. We were ready. We were ready for the picnic. And this is an important thing spiritually for us to remember, is that being ready is actually the call of a disciple of Jesus, that we're told to be ready, to be prepared. And that's not just for a one time only. This is for all times. We have to be prepared, and we have to be prepared ahead of time. And I want to read a passage together today that I think has both a future component and a present component to it. And I just wanted to read the story and let it kind of wash over you. So we're starting in Luke 12, and this is verse 35. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and he'll come and wait on them. It'll be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of night or towards daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. This is a pretty interesting story. It's followed by a few others that are much like it, and we see this story actually in each of the synoptics, but in different places. So its placement here in Luke is a little bit different than in other places. And part of this is because I think Luke is helping us understand the preparation in even a bigger context. But if you notice what the main call is, it's to be ready. And there's different ways to be ready. There's, you know, get your lamps going, there's getting your clothes on. And as I started praying and thinking about this, it was very clear that they were supposed to be already ready for when it happened. And that's something I started thinking about when I was thinking about this whole sermon series that we're going to be doing on being ready, is that there's a difference between getting ready and being ready. As many men know who are waiting to go out with their getting ready and being ready are two different things. Now, what hit me was, how much of the church is still in the stage of getting ready rather than being ready? Getting ready is that process by which you are starting to, get your clothes on or get ready, or you're going, oh, I gotta get the land. You're going shopping for your food, for your picnic stuff. You're getting ready. Being ready is way at the door, cab's coming, I'm ready to go. That's the difference between the two. And I feel like so much of the time the church is on a getting ready thing. Oh, we're trying to do this. Oh, we're trying to do that. And we're in a getting ready mentality. We're not in a be ready. Am I ready to, at any moment, if Jesus calls upon me, am I ready? And so we're going to talk about this for a few weeks. We're going to be talking, well, actually for probably 2 months, what it means to be ready. And how do we get ready? This is a call to preparation. And there's a few reasons for it. Part of it is because the end times will come, and the Lord tells us to be ready. And I think a lot of us are thinking, man, it's definitely closer than it used to be, and we're seeing lots of signs, right? So let's be ready for that. And another part of it is that we need to be ready for any moment of every day for God to be calling upon us to act. As we're going about our lives, as people come across us, are we ready? So we're going to kick off the summer kind of laying a spiritual groundwork of, hey, we're going to be spending some time getting ready so that we will be ready. Does that make sense? So this is going to be the getting ready section, and then we'll hopefully be ready for whatever will come. Our goal is basically, I believe the best way to get ready is to draw as close to God as you possibly can. Be as close to Him as you can so that when He comes, He speaks, you're ready to act. But there's going to be different places in which we need to be ready, right? We're going to talk about some spiritual warfare stuff. Are you ready for when the enemy comes attacking? Are you ready to serve when the opportunity opens itself and someone needs some help? Are you ready to jump in there? Are you ready to pray? And your friend says, oh, I'm sick. You're ready to pray and sit down with them and walk this journey with them. Are you ready to make sure that when your family is hurting or stumbling, you're there to bring comfort? Are you ready for whatever God brings? And notice how it says, immediately open the door for him. He's expecting immediate turnaround time. He's not waiting around, okay, the church will get its act together, or you'll get your act together. He wants you ready for that moment. It's this language of immediacy that's really important. There is no hesitation when the master reaches his destination. You have to be ready to go. It'll be good for those servants whose master finds them ready. So we have to ask ourselves, hey, am I ready? Who are the ones that will be ready for the master when he calls upon them? Am I ready? These are the ones who are not distracted from the mission. Right? And you got to remember, what is the mission? The mission is serving Jesus. A lot of times, when I remember that, my main calling or my main mission is to follow Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus first and foremost. And there might be times in my life, like right now, my mission is to help lead and guide a church. But that might change someday, right? Or your mission might right now be, like, my mission is to take care of my kids and feed them. Someday they're going to go out of the house. So my mission there might change. But my mission never changes, is to follow Jesus. So I'm following Jesus as I lead my church. I'm following Jesus as I care for my family. I'm following Jesus as I do this job. I'm following Jesus. Right? That's the mission, literally, is to follow Jesus. And then he'll give you steps along the way of what that looks like. Am I ready? And I think that's an important part of this whole posture of preparation, is that I'm ready for when he switches things up. I don't know about you, I don't like when things get switched up. I'm a creature of habit. I literally drive the same way home every single time. I know friends that are going to adventures. Like, let's go this way. I'm like, this works. I like it. That's the type of person I am, right? So I'm not that. I don't get excited with the idea of like, oh Lord, you're gonna change things up. Yeah, it's gonna be fun and flip around. Like, I'm ready. Hopefully, I can sit in the same chair. So you have to think about this. It will be good to find the door ready and open. We're just right at the door. Boom! Here you go. He comes in, you start giving him whatever he needs, right? I think about the master, the servant's coming home, and he's getting ready for the next thing. Hey, here you go. We're just, everything's going perfectly. The valet's ready to take the car, all the servants, everyone's ready to take care of business for the master. Are we prepared to act in and out of season? That's another part of it too. Like, oh, this isn't my season of life. Hey, he just called on you. I was on a bathroom break. You were supposed to be ready. It's all about being vigilant. And I would say there's a matter of heart preparation in all of this. I think this is one of the biggest parts. We need to prepare our hearts, we need to prepare our souls, we need to prepare our minds, we need to prepare our wills. And all of us need to be prepared for the moment in which he calls. And that's why I think about this. How available are you in every part of your life when Jesus wants you? You're like, oh God, this. Is there other parts that are not prepared? Not ready? There are parts that are kind of watching something else. I'll tell you one thing I've recognized as I've been walking more and more and understanding the nature of spiritual warfare is that the enemy loves distractions. Distractions are like the easiest way just to get believers off, right? Especially distractions that seem good. Oh, I'm distracted by this, like maybe finances or something. It's like, oh, and it's important because, you know, God gave to him, going to steward properly. But all of a sudden, it's like, now we're just obsessing over stock markets, over, but you know, you get what I'm saying? It's like easy distractions that come in. Entertainment, you know, it's a good thing. We want to enjoy life. All of a sudden, it's like 50 hours of Netflix and they're like, what just happened? Distractions. Again, we're not talking about God not wanting us to enjoy life. What we're talking about, do we allow things to take over sometimes? Your money, your entertainment. There's just this never-ending flood of things that stop us from being ready. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about the big concept of being ready. And we'll get deeper into different aspects of it. First of all, we'll talk about is just preparing our hearts, which is like, how do we connect to Jesus? Are we friends with Jesus? How are we doing with the Father? Are we intimate with the Father? Are we being guided by the Holy Spirit? Are we really prepared in those areas so that when we hear the voice or when he moves, we're ready to go? But today I want to talk about a couple things. The first one is, I want to talk about, to apply this, is to recognize that there is a practicality to eschatology. Why are you throwing all these words out? Eschatology is the study of the end times. It's the study of what's going to happen at the end. Book of Revelation is a big one, but obviously we have, you know, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, we have passages in some of the Pauline literature, some of the Petrine literature. But basically, and all, actually I'd say all through the Old Testament, all the imagery of what God's going to bring, the new Eden, and all these things, there's so much that's about what's going to be in the future. And I think a lot of times what happened was we got distracted by, in eschatology, by all the debates that started breaking up, right? Like, is it going to be pre-mill or post-mill or a-mill? What do we do with the millennium? Or pre-trib or post-trib? And some of this stuff got to the point where people would break fellowship. You couldn't be part of this church if you weren't pre-trib. Or you get what I'm saying? And so a lot of what's happened is we've kind of reacted against it. And we're like, this is too much. Which is, I think, a good point in the sense that we shouldn't be fighting over this stuff. Unity is more important than that. But on the other hand, I think maybe it's a little bit of throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Jesus doesn't tell us to be ready for his return for no reason. And I get it. It's been 2,000 years of being ready. It's like, how long? But it's because in order to be the best follower of Jesus, you need to be ready at any moment for him to return. And for you to be in the disposition of, I'll do whatever you want, whenever you want. Do you see that? So there's a practicality to ask the pleasure, like, hey, I'm ready for him to return at any moment because it means that I'm ready for him to use me at any moment. Right now. So I think it's really important. Some of the things when we read about we read the Old Testament, we read the Revelation, you know, there's going to be some things we have to be ready and watch for. We know this. You know, there's the man of lawlessness that set himself up in the temple of God. There's going to be the apostasy of the church. There's things that we've got to keep our eye out for the actual, like, end, right? The root wars, the rumors of wars. Depending on how you go about your eschatology, what we talked about earlier, there'll be different ways in which you look at these things. But I'm just saying, I think it's important we keep our eyes out for the end times. But it's also important that we keep our eyes out for Jesus' return for the now times. Because it actually affects how you live now. It affects how you respond to Jesus now. If he can return any moment, I better do what he's saying now. Oh, he might return in another 2,000 years. Yeah, I hear him telling me to go talk to my neighbor, but they'll be there tomorrow. I find that this is a simple thing. There's a reason why Jesus wanted us on guard and on ready. Be watchful. You see all the descriptions, by the way, Paul always saying, be watchful, be vigilant, be ready. Come like a thief in the night. Keep an eye out for the return of Christ. So keep our eyes in the future because it helps us in the present as well. And if we don't dig into the future, we're going to remain the same now. That's why it's important to dig into these things, to get into the books of Revelation, to ask them questions of the future. And yes, some of it is conjecture, and some of it, you know, will be completely different than we ever imagined. But it's important for us to grow in our faith and to understand what he's going to be doing. If we really take Jesus seriously about his return and Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, then that means we need to be prepared. So that's the second thing I want to say. Let's get prepared so that we can be prepared. How much of the church is ready and waiting? And that's the series it's all about. I pray that we're going to be getting ourselves ready. Hey, Lord, what do you need from me now? If we can be ready, then we're going to be in a space that we're able to operate in the fullness of who we're supposed to be. Are you ready? And I pray that you will be able to, as we go through this, start to, you know, dig in deeper to recognize how I am right now with my Lord, how good I am at hearing his voice, how good I am at knowing his word, how good I am at obeying what he says, is going to mean that I'm better ready when he comes. How can I expect that I'll do what he says when he returns if I'm not doing what he says now? So part of that preparation is being in that space where we can be able to listen. So one of the things I got to think about is, am I ready to act without hesitation when Jesus comes with a visitation? And I'll go a little bit further. Are there any areas in your life that aren't ready? I think a lot of us probably, if we really research, like, there's probably some spots that aren't quite where I'd like him to be if he showed up on the doorstep tomorrow. Where do I still need to get prepared? And I maybe ask him to reveal that to you. Where's the areas where I'm still preparing? You know, maybe there's some areas where I haven't gotten ready for a master's return. Maybe I have to go, you know, clean up the kitchen counter. And the master comes home and he's not gonna like seeing that there. Maybe there's some vacuuming I need to do upstairs. Right? Is there something that you want prepared for the return of the King? The goal is to be ready for whatever comes. And I think that's really important, because getting ready in those areas where we're not already manifest is going to be really important, because I do believe we're in a time period where things are going to start rolling faster and heavier. Right? It's going to start building. I think we've got to be prepared that our culture is not necessarily going to get more welcoming to the church. So are you ready? Why is the serpent? Check the list up. How do we respond? What do we? Are you prepared for what's happening? Or are we going to be swept along with the current? I see a lot of the churches kind of going with wherever the current takes them, because it's the easiest thing. Because we weren't prepared for it. Even though we were warned about it. Are we prepared? And to do so in wisdom and gentleness and self-control, the way the Spirit would operate. I think that's an important part of this. So I'm asking the Lord just to prepare my heart. And it might be different for each of us, but we need to ask ourselves, where do I need to get ready? Where do I need to prepare things in my heart? And that leads me to the third thing I wanted to speak on, which is that we need to be vigilant, be watchful, be on the lookout. And the thing I'd like to watch out for, yes, is the return of Christ, but it's also for the yearning of Christ. Where is Christ yearning right now? When you're going throughout your day, do you see a place where Christ's heart is like, I have compassion upon that person, or my heart burns out for that person? Am I watching with the eyes of Jesus as I go through my day so that I'm ready? It can be as simple as your W, but sometimes when I'm stopped at those lights and someone comes out with their homeless signs, and you're sometimes I'm annoyed, like, why are they here? It's close to the traffic. But sometimes my heart just feels like, I gotta get this guy a granola bar. Right? I know sometimes I say, don't do that. But is my heart ready for when I feel like the Lord puts it on me? Am I ready to respond to what's been brought to me in a Christ-like way. Maybe some friend comes to you and has something they're going on about their life, and it's really hard and deep, and are you ready to give an answer, to, hey, give encouragement or give some type of word of advice from the scriptures? Are we ready? The Lord wants us to be in this space where we see Jesus wherever he pops up in our day, wherever he wants us to put, and then we can jump in and bring him there. It means actually doing his will at all times when he's gone. That's actually the most important thing. The master's gone. Am I going like, I'll be ready to do what he wants when he gets back? I think he's going to be kind of annoyed when he gets back. He's like, oh, you spent the last how many years doing just waiting for me? You knew to get ready for me meant to actually be doing things. The dust is built up in the house. And the master's like, wait, what? Boy, I was going to clean it when you got back. So yeah, we're looking for the signs of the end of the age. We're looking for the return of Christ. We're looking for, you know, the days of Noah. We're seeing these things start to happen. And so let's keep our eyes open. And as they come up, like, let's speak them to each other, because I do believe we've got to be vigilant for that. But let's keep an eye out for where Christ needs you right at this moment, too. Are you ready to respond like Jesus to any situation? Now, I got to say, it could be a spiritual warfare situation. I'm seeing this more and more grow, where people need prayer because things are happening on levels that seem, it feels like, and I mean, Nick and Tom was like, it feels like something's been loosened, like it feels like there is spiritual powers at loose that were not as strong as they used to be. Is that a fair way to say it? People who didn't even care about spiritual things are now, you know, digging into dark spiritual things. I'm like, oh no, maybe you shouldn't talk to the ghost, or maybe, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is, things are starting to happen. You're like, you're looking around, you're like, what's going on? Dom Russo said this at the our conference, and I hit it right on the spot. He said, the church was preparing and being ready for the battle with the atheists. So we could, you know, defeat them verbally, and what we're getting is a nation of Gnostics. We're very spiritual, but they're into sideways, dark spiritualities. Are we prepared for that, too? Yes, we have to deal with the atheists, too. I'm not saying this, but what I'm saying is, actually, culturally speaking, we're in a weird space now where people are very hyper-spiritual and going into dark spaces with that spirituality. Were we prepared as a church for that? How do we prepare as a church for that? This is the type of questions that we have to ask. Well, obviously, part of preparation is not being afraid, which I think is the natural reaction to that. There's a little fear. How about prepared by confession of sin? Are we in a place where we've, you know, continually giving to God those areas that we need cleansed up in our lives? Are you prepared to serve when the Lord calls upon you? Maybe when someone crosses your path. This is part of this idea of preparation. Am I spiritually prepared in my heart? And I think that means I need to make sure I'm not distracted. I mentioned this before. Let's look out for what distracts me. I think one of the things that can easily take my attention away from the things that matter. Again, I'm not saying you can't enjoy entertainment, you can't enjoy sports. No. But is there anything that I have let become an idol, so now my focus is off God? But what's conspiring to keep your eyes off of Jesus? I gotta tell you, things are conspiring to keep your eyes off Jesus, okay? This is the way it is. At all times, there is a pressure to keep your eyes off Jesus that's pushing you away from it. Because keeping your eyes on him is going to make all the difference in the world. So I gotta think through, where is my distractions coming in? Is there any excess in your life where you spend too much energy? And something that gives very little turns. Notice what he said. He wants us dressed for service. The lamp's burning. You do not want to get caught napping when Jesus returns. Actually, later on it says, when the master returns and if he catches him sleeping, he's going to give him a beat down. I'm like, whoa, that's a... not the funnest picture. But if you read it, though, the metaphor speaks for itself. It's very clear. Jesus says this at the end of Luke 12, 28b. And it's something my dad had spoken to me a long time ago, and I always feel it in my heart. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Would you say you've been given much, friends? I think we've been given much here in North America. Those of us who follow Jesus, we've been given much. We've been given everything, Jesus. He says much is going to be asked of us. Are we prepared? Are we ready to do that? Notice what happens to the faithful servant that is ready when Jesus shows up. Do you see what happened there? The master shows up, and what does he do? Okay, I'm ready for my meal. Sit down. No, he literally says, and I'll put on servant's clothes. You recline at the table. I'm going to feed you. Isn't that incredible? I love this thing of what Jesus says he's going to do for us. If you're ready, I'm going to feed you. You're going to relax, enjoy yourself. The readiness actually is a great gift, because when he returns and finds you ready, you are going to eat the best. You're going to have a fine feast prepared by Jesus himself. And I think about the Lord's Supper of the Lamb and all the things that are... This is going to be incredible times, my friend. When you think about what it looks like at the very end, when I actually get to enjoy my sweet time with Jesus, this is going to be beyond whatever we can imagine. We're going to be lounging with Jesus. What a beautiful switcheroo. I love how Jesus does that, the upside-down kingdom. In a day where, you know, masters control servants, and for him, there was slave and freed. It was a big thing, right? This would not happen. What Jesus is saying is happening is like, this is a mind-blowing idea. We think of it now like, oh yeah, Jesus is the servant of all. No, he's the king, and he says he's going to serve you. He's literally flipping everything around and purposely to tell you he loves you so much that what he's asking of you, he's going to do even more. Him asking you to be a servant isn't so he can just be served by all these serfs. It's so that he can serve you properly, feed you, care for you. Isn't that amazing? Where his heart comes with all this, he's not saying be a servant because I need great servants. He's saying be a servant so I can serve you the best. The kingdom of God is an upside-down kingdom where God will himself serve the servants who were faithful and who were watchful. So this is our call. And I hope as we spend the next few weeks doing this that we prepare our hearts to be prepared, to be ready. Because we are going to be a church that's ready to respond when Jesus calls. And if we are, things will never be the same again. I really believe that. Because when you respond to Jesus in real time, if we're a church that's prepared for the things that are coming, then he will be able to use us because we will be vessels that are ready and prepared for the use.
Thank you for listening to the Groundswell podcast. For more info or to support Groundswell, check out www.thegroundswellchurch.com. Grace and peace.